discouragement attacks everybody. As a matter of fact, I think it was that great poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow who said, "Into each life some rain must fall." And so discouragement is just a normal part of life. You don't need to think that you're going to get through life without being discouragement.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Climbing Out of the Hole of Discouragement. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Climbing Out of the Hole of Discouragement.
We've been dealing with the victory in 2003, and we started off the first week by letting you know that you can have the victory, that you are the word for victory in the New Testament is the Greek word Nike, which we get our Nike gear from, the equipment or the gear of those who are walking in victory. So we let you know on the first Sunday of this month that you can have the victory. And then last week, we said that as you move toward the victory, that there may be roadblocks that will come your way, and so you need to run on and see what the end is going to be. This morning, we want you to direct your attention to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag was smitten and burned with fire, and had taken the women captive that were in it. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." And I want to speak to you as we continue this message, realizing that along this journey that you're on, this victory journey, that there will be times of discouragement that will come along. And I just want to speak to you this morning on the subject, climbing out of the hole of discouragement. Climbing out of the hole of discouragement. Regardless of the fact that we do have the victory, there's no doubt about that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ." We have the victory. There's no question about that, as we saw the first Sunday of this month. However, along this victory road, there will be times when we get discouraged. And as we think about those times that we get discouraged, we find ourselves in a hole. And we need to learn how to get out of that hole whenever we are down in that hole of discouragement. You know, there was, as you look around and probably on your jobs, there's motivational posters that people put up, keep on fighting and keep on going, and encouraging you to do your best and to keep on keeping on. But somebody came up with some, instead of motivational posters, they came up with some demotivational posters. And here's a couple of them, and I think that they might characterize some of our lives in here this morning. The first one dealt with mistakes, and it said this: "It could be that the purpose of your life is only to serve as a warning to others." Doubt. In the battle between you and the world, bet on the world. Humiliation. The harder you try, the dumber you look. Losing. If at first you don't succeed, it could be that losing is just your style. And then despair. I like this one here. It is always darkest just before it goes pitch dark. And so we see that there's a lot of discouragement in the world today. And no doubt that maybe some of these things that have been said in these demotivational posters may be characteristic of your life this morning. But I just want to let you know that discouragement is something that comes all of our way. You know, there's three things about discouragement. You might want to write these down. Three things about discouragement. First of all, one characteristic which makes discouragement such a dreaded problem is that discouragement is universal. It knows no race. It knows no age. It knows no economic level. Discouragement attacks everybody. As a matter of fact, I think it was that great poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow who said, "Into each life some rain must fall." And so discouragement is just a normal part of life. You don't need to think that you're going to get through life without being discouragement, because it's universal. The second thing that we want to say about discouragement is that discouragement is reoccurring. You can't take some pill and become immune to discouragement. You can't treat discouragement like the measles or the mumps and say, "Well, I just had it one time and I don't have to worry about having it again." Discouragement can go on and on and on, and it could come back again and again and again. And the third thing I want to say about discouragement is that discouragement is highly contagious. That if you get around other folks who are discouraged, if you don't watch yourself, you could find yourself in that same state of discouragement. There was a man driving down the street one day, and he saw this fellow getting ready to jump off of a bridge. And he stopped and began to talk to him. And he said, "Why do you want to jump off that bridge?" He said, "Man, because my life is just a mess." He said that, this is wrong and that is wrong. And the man would say, "Well, you don't want to do that. Come down off of here." And then he began to elaborate to him all the problems that he had again and tell him about the state of affairs in the world today. And it said that after about 10 or 15 minutes, both of them jumped off the bridge. You see, discouragement. Discouragement is contagious. That if you find yourself around discouraged people, then it's not going to be long before you yourself will be discouraged. And I thank God for the text that we have this morning, because it lets us know what we can do in the time of discouragement. As we look at our scripture this morning, we find out that this was a time in David's life when he was in trouble. He was really in trouble. David was on the run from Saul. And as David ran from Saul, he hooked up with the Philistines. Now, as you read the Old Testament, you know that the Philistines were the arch enemies of the Israelites. So now David is no longer supporting Saul and the Israelites, but David has hooked up with the Philistines. And he's fighting with the Philistines against Israel. But the king of the Philistines said to David, "Look, I'm not sure at this point that we can trust you. I don't know if we can, when we get into battle, if we can trust you to go into battle and you will be on our side as we fight. As a matter of fact, you and your men may just turn on us." And so therefore, he told them in chapter 29, "It's best that you go back home, because we don't want you fighting alongside with us." And so David and his men take their little swords and their little slingshots, and they head on back home. And as they go back home, in verse 30, it says that, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire." And so now David comes back and he sees the city taken. He sees the city burned down with fire. But not only that, it goes on to say that they had taken David's wives and his children, the Amalekites, when they came. Verse 2, and they had taken the women captives that were in it. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Wow. Man, if there's anything in your life that you've ever been discouraged about, you just go back and read this story right here. And I guarantee you that the discouragement that you are going through will not even compare to what David is dealing with in this chapter. If you look at the notes that I gave you, they should be in your bulletin, the notes that we pass out, climbing out of the hole of discouragement. What does it mean to be discouraged? What does that mean? When someone is discouraged, what does that mean? That means that you have taken the heart out of a person for doing something. I remember when I was in seminary, my wife one evening, at the time we just had one child, and she had found a babysitter for Nicole, and she had got dressed up and put this candle in the middle of the table and fixed a nice dinner. And I came back, and the lights were all low, and my wife was dressed up, looking nice, and the dinner was on the table. And I remember I came in, and I told her after I eat, I told the guys I was going to go bowling with them. Now, you know, see, I was just, Brother Van, I was just in seminary. I hadn't graduated from seminary. But since I've graduated from seminary, I know that you don't do that. And I could just see my wife's enthusiasm. I could just see her excitement. Just leave. Because something that she had a heart for, something that she was excited about, all the air had just been let out. And that's what it means to be discouraged. As a matter of fact, as you look at this thing of discouragement, discouragement can come in one of two ways. And I want to show you the different ways that discouragement can come. Much like when I had to deal with my wife on that evening and I had discouraged her, discouragement can come trying to blow up a balloon. You know, sometimes you'll be excited about something and you'll be filled with air about something and you have all the heart in the world and somebody will just come in, bust your balloon, let all the air out of you, discourage you completely, just take all the heart that you had for something out of it. And then other times, see, if I didn't work out, I couldn't do that. Other times, people just slowly eat away at you, come against you, work on you, and finally, just all the excitement, all the heart that you had for something, all the air is just let out. And you find yourself discouraged. And as we said, it can happen to any of us. And discouragement is something that's devastating to a person's life. And the reason that discouragement is devastating, because if it lingers too long, it can turn into depression. If you don't deal with discouragement accurately, if you don't deal with it effectively, and it lingers on and lingers on, you will find yourself in a state of depression. What were some things that contributed to David's discouragement? Look at that first block right there. First of all, we see in verse 1, there was an unpredicted attack. That he was out trying to fight a war, and he came back and he found out that somebody had come in the back door and attacked the city where his wife, kids, and the families of those who were with him. It was an unpredicted attack. Secondly, there was in verse 2, an unexpected loss. That now his city was burned down and his family was taken away. Third, there was some uncertainty about the past actions. I'm sure in that crowd that day, there was probably those who said, man, I can't believe. Here we are out there. David, we should have never been over there with the Philistines in the first place. What in the world are we trying to hook up with them for? And now we come back and look what happened to us. So there was probably in David's mind some uncertainty about what he had done by taking the men to go fight with the Philistines. The fourth thing, and you know what? You can't prepare for this, but you need to know that it can happen, that there is an unanticipated rebellion. That sometimes the people who you think are closest to you will be the main contributors to your discouragement. Those who should have came around David and encouraged him. Those who should have came around and said, David, look, let's regroup. Let's get this thing together. Let's go out. The Bible says that these same ones thought how they could stone him. How can we kill this man? This man has caused us hurt. This man has caused us devastation. How can we kill him? And then finally, we see that David, even after all that, was still undecided about what to do because he went to the priest because he didn't know what to do. Now, this discouragement is seen in David's life, but how does discouragement come in our lives today? Well, in our lives, there are basically four, and there's probably some more, but we'll look at the four main ones that contribute to discouragement in our lives. First of all, there's fatigue. That when you get tired, when you get worn out, you are a prime candidate to get discouraged. That's why, you know, we run and we go here and we go there and we don't take any time to recoil and refresh, and we're just burned out and we wonder why we're discouraged. You know, somebody said that, years ago, people made it a habit to get at least 9 hours of sleep a night, where today, you know, the average person probably gets 5, 6, 7 hours, somewhere in there. So, you know, we are suffering from a fatigue syndrome in our lives. Now, I'm not trying to support those who want to be lazy now and sleep because you're late. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in things that we just get burned out, wiped out, and we get fatigued, and we find that discouragement sets in. That's why I think it's important to pray for those who are sick. Because you know what happens sometimes to people? They get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Sometimes, man, can you imagine what it must be like just to be sick all the time? That wears you out. That fatigues you. As a matter of fact, you know, that, and people have misinterpreted that scripture in James where it talks about praying for the sick. You know, if you go back and really study that verse out, it's not talking about necessarily pray for their healing. And yet and still people have told us that that's what that means, to pray for their healing. Go back and study James chapter 5 where he says to pray for the sick. And if you look at the words that are used there as he talks about praying for the sick, you know what specifically he says to pray for the sick? And you know who the sick that he addressed to pray for? Those who have become feeble. Those who have become emotionally weak. That's the word used there when James says pray for the sick. Call for the elders of the church and pray for the sick. Not that they would be healed, but that their emotional state would be strengthened. Because God realizes that when a person is in a prolonged state of sickness, that there is the possibility of falling off into discouragement. That's why, you know, you need, I praise God that, you know, we have saints in this church that will get the bulletin, look on the back of the sick and shut-in list, and write the sick and shut-in cards of encouragement. Praise the Lord. Thank God that we've got at Bethany Baptist Church, once again, not a perfect church, but a church that's trying to serve God. We've got church on wheels that goes out to the sick and shut-in and have services in their home. Thank God for the deacons and deaconesses who go out to the sick and shut-in once a month to serve them communion and to have a time of prayer and worship with them. Man, we got to keep the sick encouraged, because when fatigue sets in, that's when discouragement sets in. Sometimes frustration can lead to discouragement. If you have been frustrated about something over and over again, you've tried to do something, and every time you've tried to do it, it seems like there was a roadblock in your way. It seemed like there was an obstacle in your way. You know what will happen? You will get frustrated, and then you will get discouraged and not want to do it anymore. You will get frustrated and just want to throw your hands up in the air and say, look, this is not worth it. This is just seems to be one headache after another. And so we need to be on the lookout for frustration and really check out our frustration level to see when we are frustrated, so that that frustration doesn't lead to discouragement. Sometimes failure can lead to discouragement. When we fail to do something, maybe we've had this lofty dream and the dream didn't come to pass. Maybe we've put our heart into doing something and it just didn't come to pass and we failed. Maybe there was a position that we wanted to get and we didn't get it. Maybe there was a job that we wanted and we didn't get. And we failed, and now discouragement has set in. But let me say this, just because you fail, that don't mean you have to be discouraged. I heard the story about this bulldog that came down the street every day and jumped over the fence, and there was these two Doberman pinschers in the yard. And every day, these Dobermans would light into this bulldog, and that bulldog would jump back over that fence, beaten and bloody. And there was a guy who was watched this happen every day. This bulldog would come down there, and he would see this bulldog leave beaten up every day. And he ended up going on a trip. And he went on a trip for about 4 or 5 days. And when he came back, one of the first things he asked his wife is what's going on with that situation with that bulldog jumping over the fence? She said, you know, after about the second or third day, when the bulldog jumped over the fence, that the Dobermans jumped up and looked and saw that was the bulldog, and they went and laid back down in the corner. And I was thinking, you know what happened? You know what that bulldog did? Just because he failed, he didn't stop. Just because he didn't succeed, he didn't stop. He kept going back and going back and going back. And just because you fail at something, it doesn't mean that you have to be discouraged. You got to find a way to pick yourself up. Your proverb says that a good man falls and gets back up, but an evil man falls, and that's the end of it. And so just because you fail, that don't mean that you have to be discouraged. And then finally, fear. When a person is fearful, that can lead to discouragement. Now, we have a perfect example in the Bible, and that is Goliath. You remember Goliath? He was out in the valley taunting the army of Israel. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Beginning in verse 3. And here we see this battle going on.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Climbing Out of the Hole of Discouragement. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Climbing Out of the Hole of Discouragement, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Climbing Out of the Hole of Discouragement. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request climbing out of the hole of discouragement, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.